Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here because this is a big show. Ricky and I are kind of breaking down the news of the last couple of weeks. We're talking genies and genie pluses and lightning lanes, pixie dust and pirate passes and credit passes, even sorcerer passes. We're talking annual passes, what this means for our future Disney trips. We give you all kinds of information on today's shows. Plus, our thoughts on what this all means for our future Disney vacations. Hear what we have to say, and then let us know on social media what you think. That's important to us. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. Now is a great time to have an advocate there for you in your Disney trip planning. That agent's going to be there for you to answer any questions you might have with all these changes and to make sure you're set up for the best Disney vacation possible. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. And we'll be planning a great vacation for you. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so much to our patrons. You allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times every week. It goes out all around the world, and it's because of your support. Really, it is. If you'd like a bonus podcast every week called Mike in the Midwest, it's for our patrons only. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1959 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. I promise I won't do this every show, but I'm 24 hours away from being back on the hill out in Columbia, Missouri, Faurot Field Memorial Stadium, watching my Tigers under Coach Eli Drinkwitz take on the Central Michigan. I don't even know what their mascot is because they're a small school. And that's what we do early in the year. We just beat up small schools. So I hope I didn't curse us. We've lost to small schools before. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Oh my gosh, I have it on tape now. Let's quit talking about college football because now I'll be sweating bullets until the end of the game tomorrow out in Columbia. Okay. So anyway, look for me. It's on SEC Network. I'll be waving. So along with a lot of other people. But I'll be there. But hey, we're here to talk Disney. And we got some stuff to talk about. We have stuff. A lot of stuff people want us to chime in on. So we're going to chime in on some stuff today. So join me for this fun conversation. We're taking you to school. We have Ricky from the mouseforless.com where I'm getting all my information today. So Ricky, what's going on? Happy Friday.
That's right. Happy Friday. I forgot to mention on Wednesday, but I wanted to say how sad I am to hear about the loss of Ed Asner. Yes. So for those who don't know, Ed Asner was the voice of Carl from Up. A few years back, I actually got to meet him. There's a picture I posted it on my social media. So if you want to see me meeting Ed Asner, it's out there on my Instagram, but I think Facebook and Twitter too. So, he was just the sweetest guy. And I thanked him for, you know, the work that he did on, the, you know, as Carl and Up, and he was just the nicest guy. So, rest in peace, Ed Asner. Thank you for the memories, and so sad to hear about his passing this week. So
we talked about that on the live show on Sunday because it just happened a few hours before. Well, it was at least announced that day, so we spent some time talking about that. You know, the older I get, and it seems to happen every day, I get a little bit older. It's a weird thing.
It's but weird how that happens. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I appreciate the character of Carl more and more because, you know, I can be a curmudgeon some days. You know, I'm like set in my ways. You know, I'm just like,
what?
But I appreciate my wife, right? I love my wife. I do anything for her. We do lots of adventures together. But, you know, you can be kind of a curmudgeon like on the outside, but I mean, you can still have that heart of gold on the inside, right? I mean, that's what we all want to be.
Absolutely, 100%. I still can't watch that movie because I can't get through the first 3 minutes of it. Then you get the last little bit too. So like you're bawling at both ends of that movie, and I'm just like, I can't do it. It's a good movie. It's a great movie. It's a great story. I just don't like crying that heavily
because I went to see that in the theaters when it came out, right? Because there's a lot of hype around it,
same.
Man, I was messed up at the beginning of the movie. It just totally destroyed me. And the thing is, I mean, I have Disney Plus now. I will not watch that movie.
I don't watch it either.
I don't need that kind of soul-crushing destruction in my life. I know it has a happy ending and it's a good movie, but I'm an emotional dude. Like, it's college football season. Wade just told me it's the Central Michigan Chippewas. Being a Mizzou fan is soul-crushing enough, which Wade gets because he's a Nebraska fan. The thing is, like, I don't need to go watch in a movie. No matter how good it is for 90% of the movie, that 10% like brings me to my knees, and I don't need that. Which is sad because it's a great movie, but I will not watch it. I'm sorry.
It is a great movie. Yes, that is one of those movies that I just can't do. There are a lot of other movies that are not
I've heard
Disney
that
movies.
I've never seen, what's the one, the Mexican one?
Coco.
People told me that thing will break you. I'm like,
I am surprised Coco did not break me because I had just lost my grandma not that long before. And I was like, I'm surprised it didn't break me, but it didn't for some reason. But I can't do up. So,
and I love the Mexican culture. Like, it's not just Mexican food. I do love Mexican food, but I love like mariachi music. I love when I go to a really authentic Mexican restaurant, you know, where everybody's speaking Spanish. I took Spanish for 5 years. Like, I kind of decipher Spanish pretty well. Really? Almost as good as I can do English. But the thing, like, and I was excited to see that movie, then people are like, oh, it's so sad. I'm like, I am not watching that.
Okay, I don't think it's as sad, though, as Up, though. I think you can manage that. I don't know, but that's just me. I was able to manage Coco, so I can't. Maybe I still to this day can't manage Up. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe try it.
Maybe at Halloween, because it'll be kind of Day of the Dead thing. Anyway, speaking of sad, we found out about annual passes this week, right?
We did find out about annual passes this week. Hey, good time.
That's right. 2,000 episodes and we're figuring things out. No. So everybody's been waiting. Like, when are annual passes going back on sale? So everybody's like, yay, on social media. Yay, annual passes. September 8th is the date that they're going back on sale. Now, we'll say we're going to get to all the information, but if you have a current annual pass, like I do, like you do, this will go into effect after your annual pass, this cycle expires. You'll have to go to one of these four awesomely named levels.
Awesomely named.
Unless you're from Missouri, which you don't have any choices. Hey, you got all these choices. There's your choice. So we'll talk about that in a second. But initial thoughts, because as we're recording this show, this is the day that everything was announced. So we are just hours away from this becoming, all this stuff becoming official. So initial thoughts, what are your initial thoughts before we dive into it?
Again, I was talking to a coworker about this and I am surprised that people are surprised that the prices increased.
I called this like 3 weeks ago on social media. You can look at my Twitter account. So I was like, oh, it won't be, because everything's getting more expensive, but a lot more expensive.
Absolutely. So I'm a little surprised that people, I don't know if people thought that it wasn't going to go up much or what, which, I mean, granted, there were some steep increases, especially if you do the math on things, which we'll explain in a minute. But I am a little surprised that people were surprised that it increased. I guess maybe the other part of the surprise is the fact that, you know, if you think about it, so I realized that the last annual pass increase happened basically in February of 2020. So the annual passes didn't they went for like a whole year. You know, we didn't have like a year and a half without a price increase. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not surprised that they increased as much as they did. Look, Disney has been increasing annual passes at a pretty good clip for the past few years. So I really wasn't surprised by the increase. I'm also not surprised by the fact that they simplified things in a way. You know, over the past few years, they've had just so many different annual passes and options and things get a little confusing. You know, I know I would get confused and I'm apparently a Disney expert, and I look at the listing of the number of annual passes and I was like, what is that one? And I don't understand. So I got confused. So I think simplifying it is much better. And you know, look, the elephant in the room is there's only one annual pass option for those of us who live out of state. It has been that way for a while. I know because I have to buy an out of state annual pass, and every year I have to plunk down a lot of money for an annual pass, and I have to plunk it down at one time because I don't get the perk of, you know, the Florida resident, you know, they get to pay like monthly installments. I don't get that perk. I got to pay it all at once. So I guess I saw a lot of complaining about the fact that there was only one option for out-of-state residents, and I'm sitting here thinking, it's only been one option for quite a few years. So, well, okay, you had the Platinum Plus pass, which allowed you the water parks, but like still, I still count that as like one option.
And that's really, my thing is, I like, again, I've said this a million times on the podcast, I long for the days. And again, grumpy old man, I'm like Carl from, Set My Ways, but I love the Ultimate Park Hopper that was part of your vacation package, where that's when I always went to the theme park or the water parks, because it was just included. You did whatever you wanted. You went to Disney Quest. You didn't think about it. It was just part of the package. And then when you had to start adding things on, I never added on a water park some more because I didn't.
I haven't been to the water park since that time.
I like the water. I'm a water park fan. I think they're a lot of fun. Now I was like, we ever going to go to a water park? Because I mean, it's been since she's been alive. Like, she's 13 now. Anyway, so let's talk about the levels. And
yes,
I love the names because, you know, Disney. Disney, if anything else, man, they got people naming stuff right now. So let's talk about that. And let's talk about, because there's three levels. Four, if you're a Florida resident or a DVC member, you have a lot more options. If you're non-DVC and you live in Missouri, you know, outside of Florida, well, it's like, you know, you're going to the Mexican restaurant and all you can get is tacos. I mean, it's basically, I mean, what kind of tacos? You want hard shell or soft shell? Well, guess what? You can't get the soft shells. You just get a hard shell tacos. So here it comes. And it's going to be real expensive. Okay, so walk us through the four levels and what's included.
Okay, there are, like I said, four levels. The first three are basically Florida resident only passes. So there's the Disney Pixie Dust Pass. This one's $339 plus tax. You get to visit one or more theme park on the same day. You have to have, now for all these parks, you have to have advanced reservations. Pass is valid most weekdays with blackout dates on peak and holiday periods. You can make and hold up to three park reservations at a time on a rolling basis, so just like it is now. Pass holders staying at select Disney resort hotels can continue to, so they can make their reservations for their hotel stay and then continue to hold those three extra park reservations, and that'll continue.
That's
as
true
well.
For all four levels, correct?
Yes, for all four levels, yeah, so I won't like go over that every time. There's going to be bonus reservations that are added to the calendar from time to time, allowing you to make extra reservations on select days at theme parks. These bonus reservations do not count as a reservation hold. I guess they're just going to throw in a day.
That cracks me up. Like, okay. What? I mean, what is Disney? What is, like, they're doing this with the Run Disney race in the spring. Like, dude, bonus. Like, it's surprise race. Like, you're making this stuff up. I'm sorry. Like, I know that this is a great, you know, this could be a great perk, but it's just so, this seems so out of Disney's norm.
Right.
I mean, it's okay to have change. I mean, things, it spices things up, right? But I mean, dude, come on now. Like, is this going to be like, okay, September 3rd or no,
exactly.
It's like September 12th, you can go into Epcot.
Exactly, because the park is dead this day, so we're going to let you in this day. Like, what? Like, yes,
so
exactly.
Weird.
It's totally going to be one of those things where it's like the park is kind of like it's been the past week where, you know, it's been dead. Like, you'll get those bonus days right
now.
You
can't
because,
go, like, exactly, because you're teaching class. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. The bonus days, by the way, are also something that are included in all four options. So I'm not going to go over that.
Disney
again.
Loves a good surprise bonus.
Exactly.
Year.
They certainly do. Again, another thing that goes for all four is you can add on Disney Photo Pass or the Water Park and Sports option. So, you know, there's an extra cost for both of those. More on that. You get theme park parking and you get discounts on dining, merchandise, and more. So,
okay, so we'll start there. And I will not rant about Memory Maker right now. I'll hold that. I'll just keep your mouth shut, Mike. Okay,
we got this.
Again, this next level, that was for Florida residents. So is this. So is the next one. So Florida residents, we go to the Pirate Pass. Do you get an eye patch with this one? Or at least a hook. You should get a hook.
I saw something going around on the internet where it's making for a pass or something like that. And it was, the joke was, you did get a pirate, like an eye patch, and you had to wear it the whole time.
You should, and a hook. I mean, I'm a pirate pass holder.
Oh my God, it's so stupid. Anyway, okay, Florida residents, $6.99 plus tax. You can, again, visit multiple theme parks on the same day.
So park hopping.
Yes, park hopping. The pass is valid for most days. There are blackout dates. including peak dates and holidays. I've noticed a lot of Florida residents stating that there are, because there's really no like correlation level to their the previous options that were available. And this one has way more blackout days than like the one that kind of corresponded with it. So just kind of a heads up, you might want to look at the blackout dates.
Check the calendar.
Exactly. You can hold up to 4 park reservations at a rolling basis on this one. So those are really the differences with this. Again, you get theme park parking, you get discounts on dining, merchandise, and more, and then the other things we talked about.
So. Okay, so the first one, just so we know, that's the Pixie Dust, the very lowest level was $339 plus tax, $19 for Florida residents. This one jumps up to $699 plus tax, or $45 a month. Okay, so let's go up to the Disney Sorcerer Pass. Gosh. Sounds harder to do. I can't do that.
This is for Florida residents or Disney Vacation Club members. So I believe if you're just a Disney Vacation Club member and you live in another state, you can still choose to purchase this option. It is $8.99 plus tax. You can visit theme parks, park hop, that kind of thing. This is valid for most days, but there are blackout dates for this one during select holiday periods. So not like the summer, but I think like during, you know, Christmas and spring break, things like that. So do keep that in mind for Disney Vacation Club members. If you're going during one of those time periods, this may not be the pass for you. You can make and hold up to 5 park reservations at a time on a rolling basis with this one. And then again, theme park parking and discounts on dining and merchandise and things like that. So there's that.
So on this one, here's what I get about this. Okay, again, this one's $8.99 plus tax or $63 a month. But that's after your $205 down payment. So now we're getting into territory that this pass now costs more than my first car because I had a $500 MGB that was used that didn't run, but we fixed it up. But when you're starting to do down payments and monthly installments, okay, now we're getting down to, you know, brass
tacks.
But
keep in mind, I think the monthly installments are only for the Florida residents, Disney Vacation Club.
Exactly. Sucker, you're from Missouri. You're a Mike Moneybags. No, I'm not.
You still got to pay for it. Okay.
Oh, hang on. This is the Disney, everybody get ready for it because it's for everybody, the Disney Incredipass. Here we go.
Dumb. Such a dumb name. Okay. This one's for all guests, including little old me and Mike. It is $1,299 plus tax. it'll allow you to visit, you know, all 4 theme parks, park hop, no blackout dates on this one. So if you want to go on Christmas Day, you can go on Christmas Day. And again, you can make and hold up to 5 park reservations at a time on a rolling basis. By the way, can I just mention, I am at least happy to see that they have increased this because that 3 park reservation, you know, system that they had going on was so difficult for someone like me. So, cause I, you know, have multiple trips booked at once and usually stay off site. So I had, especially when the park reservation system was way more blacked out than it is now. That was so difficult. So I'm glad to see that they've increased the reservation availability, at least for this. So, hey, that's a bonus, right? That's a plus. I don't know. I'm paying a lot of money for this pass.
Again, $12.99. Or if you're a Florida resident, you can do $99 a month with your down payment of $205. I love how they had $205. I guess I got it down to round numbers for them. Okay,
great. I think that's maybe the cost of like a one-day park hopper or something like that. I don't know.
Or half of my MG. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so those are the 4 options. Okay, now you can do add-ons. Do we want to talk about the add-ons now, Mike?
We have to. We're obligated. So go ahead.
Okay. We are obligated. Okay. So for an additional cost, you can add on either the water park and sports option. So this used to be like the
water park's fun and more. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So it is $99 plus tax for the year. Now, overall, not bad. If you're planning on going to the water parks and stuff like that, it's really not that bad of a price. I mean, the water parks, you really have to go like twice to get your money's worth.
You go twice in this, but this makes sense. This does make sense if you're going to go twice in that whole year. So this is,
yes.
I mean, if you're going to go, this is not, you know, it's kind of like Disney Cruise Line, right? It's a premium cruise line. It costs a lot to get on the ship, but it doesn't cost that much more to get a veranda from a like ocean view. It's kind of one of those situations.
Agreed. All right. Now, this one I think is funny that we're a little upset about, and
I'm fired up about this.
I'll explain why I think this is really funny that we're upset about it. Okay. Disney PhotoPass downloads. Now, if you want to be able... So before, if you wanted to download Disney PhotoPass photos, you could. It was included in your park pass, in your annual pass. So you could go take as many photos as you wanted, and you could download them. You know, I utilize this so much over the past few years that they've had this included in my annual pass. Now, if I decide that I want to have this, it's an extra $99 plus tax for the year. So go ahead, Mike. And then I'll explain why I think it's funny.
For one thing, it's a digital asset, right? It's not. I know that you have the PhotoPass photographers and all that, but I mean, come on. We're paying a lot of money for the annual pass. I thought it was a nice gesture from Disney to offer this to their you know, most revered guests besides DVC. Annual pass holders are forking out a lot of money to be there. It doesn't cost Disney that much. These things are shared, especially with, you know, for me. I could take the pictures and leave them, but I like to go in there, you know, when I'm standing in line to see, oh, yeah, what was the ride photo look like, or what goofy pose did we do in front of the Chinese theater? I mean, we mess around with these. You get the magic shots. But, I mean, I immediately post them to social media. Thousands of people see these things. It's great free press for them. And I'm not, I mean, here's the thing. Okay, I say I'm not going to buy it. I am, because now if they still include the race pictures, that makes it worth it, because
that's true. Yes.
My first marathon, this was not a part of the race, you know, Memory Maker. Yes. They had a third party company. I paid $260 just for my marathon weekend pictures, just for one race weekend, because it was my first, you know, dopey or something. And I was like, oh, well, I got to get those pictures. I mean, I'm glad I did. It was just a nice gesture. I will still buy it, but now my annual pass is $13.99.
Correct, because you have to add that cost into the annual pass. So it's not as, it's definitely gone up a lot more if you add in the photo pass, which, I mean, I agree with you. I have loved having photo pass. It has been a very nice perk. Again, you know, if you didn't want to add it in the lower tiers, you didn't have to add it in the lower tiers. But, you know, the people who are DVC,
it should,
you know,
go to like the top two tiers. I mean, this should be kind of a no-brainer. Like, once you get to pay like $900 a year or $12.99 a year, they should have thrown this in as just like, okay, this is a good faith kind of thing.
Correct.
The water parks, I could see, I say leave that a la carte, and that's a good price, because the thing is, not everybody's a water park person. There's a lot of people that just, they're either skeeved out by water parks and like, you know, public pools. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, right? I mean, I've seen movies, but I still go in. There's a lot of chlorine. But the thing is, like, that is a good add-on. And it still was in the previous iteration of the annual passes. It was an add-on. But, I mean, it was just, it's hard to take something away that people have kind of gotten used to. And Disney's doing that quite a bit, and they just got to be careful with that.
I agree with that. I do agree. Now, here's the two things I want to point out. One, it is nice in the sense of, okay, yes, I am a little peeved that I have to pay an extra $99 for it. And I, like you, will more than likely consider paying that $99. The good part is that Brian does not have to pay the $99, I believe.
No, you're right. Just to make sure he's in all of your pictures. Now, like, you got to be hugging him so he gets
exactly. So he would be in all my pictures anyway. Now the question is, like, you know,
what about us? We got like 58 friends and family on my Disney experience. As long as you get it, you save me $100.
If I'm connected to you, exactly. Don't say that out loud, Mike. Disney's listening.
I know you're gonna buy it. I'm good because I know you're buying it.
but that's the thing. Like, okay, so we're a family, and so I don't have to buy it for him, but I, you know, would buy it for me. So okay, that evens out a little bit. You know, okay, I get that. Because I remember, now this goes back to where I was going to go with this. Remember when this first happened? When we first got PhotoPass as part of an annual pass, I remember the two of us complaining about it. Because we were like, I don't want PhotoPass. I'd rather pay less money for my annual pass and not have PhotoPass. I remember both of us complaining about this. So they did end up listening in the sense of, like, because we've said something about, I'd rather they have us pay extra for it for one person. And that, so they ended up doing what we asked them to do years ago. It's just, you're right. We got used to it.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so let me ask you this. Hypothetically, and everybody that's on the treadmills, everybody that's out on a run, everybody that's taking the garbage out, walking the dog, doing the dishes, cutting the grass, whatever you're doing, maybe just driving in your car. What about this hypothetical? Say Disney said, and they're not, so we're kind of, the facts were there.
Right.
But what if Disney gave you the option to, for $12.99, you still get the Memory Maker like the old days, or you could opt out of getting the pictures and your pass is $11.99. Now, would you pay the full price of that new, would you do $12.99 with Memory Maker? Or would you, if they gave you like the opt out, we're going to take $100 off good faith, it's $11.90. See, I would pay $12.99 and be happy and still get my memory maker.
Yes, because when you, I feel like if you add on, it's a psychologically.
It is a psychological thing because we're getting this a lot all at once. It's happening a lot in a shorter period of time.
So psychologically, it's like, dang, they're nickel and diming me for everything. Whereas I agree with you. If they had done it like what you said, where even if they said it was the 13, whatever, and done it that way, it wouldn't have looked as bad perception wise because like then people can accept a discount. So if they choose not to, you know, not to get the memory maker or the photo pass option, it looks like you're saving money then instead of, oh, I have to add this on. Yeah, I agree with you. I think they should. I think they've been doing this a little the wrong way. And I think it's certainly biting them in the butt in the Disney community because, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, Disney Genie Plus and Lightning Lane too. But I feel like the keeping up of the adding on, it's going to burn people out a lot. But if you say, hey, guess what? You can save by not doing this. Psychologically, that's so much better for people. I feel like they're doing it wrong with this. So, yeah.
I know we're going to get on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane, but just a couple things. Cause I had one of my guests over at the Magic for Less, good friends on Alabama, Rhonda Long. She sent me a message and we were talking about this because she's like, you know, what do I do? Like, I have these two trips. Like, does it make sense? Again, you got to really, really dive into the math and say how many days are going to be there. We don't know what discounts are going to look like for 2022 for annual pass holders. I hope they're like historically there. I mean, that's, as a travel agent, there's nothing that makes me happier than getting a discount for a guest, especially an annual pass holder, because you are a super fan and I hope to save you the most amount of money I can. Of course, I can only save people money on what Disney offers. I mean, that's just, that's the rules of the game. They set the rules. I play by them to my client's advantage. That's what I do. But here's one piece of advice I would say, because she's got two adults, two kids. Both kids are, you know, over three, well, three or over. So you got to buy four. Okay.
Right.
Oh, that's a lot of
money. That's the other part too. There is no child discount for annual passes, which I get it in a weird way, but like, seriously, like, you don't have a child option for an annual pass. Come on.
Well, here's what I haven't told her this yet, but I'm telling her here on the show. So hopefully, and I'll send her this message probably before this comes out, but here's one thing I have learned, which I did by accident because I go down for Run Disney weekends without my family. If now this isn't ideal because it's just it's totally psychological, but if you can get at people like half of the family on a different cycle, you're paying twice a year, but you're not paying in her case
a whole lot,
$5,500 for a family of four for that annual pass renewal, or you know, or some kind of, you know, when you're buying that new annual pass. If you're at least paying half of that on one trip and half of that on the other, you're still paying the same amount of money, but it feels like you're not getting hit in the gut so hard. Like, I mean, it's still, it's still like Sugar Ray Leonard hitting you in the gut, but it's not like a Tyson, you know, like, I mean, it might kill you, you know, the other way. It's just one of those things psychologically, I say, try to get on different cycles and it's not as hard of a hit at once, but it's still psychological. And you really another thing I would say as a travel agent, is you got to look and see if it makes sense. I mean, a lot of us are used to just saying, I'm an annual pass holder. I like to go through that annual pass gate at the, you know, when you go into the touch points. Yeah. I like my, you know, annual pass magnet. But you know what? You got to look at the year, and this might be a year where you just add Magic Your Way tickets a couple of times and save, you know, $400. I mean, I know it's hard to go from an annual pass holder to a regular, but it is. Who cares? Once you're in the, everybody gets to have the same amount of fun. You know,
that's true.
You just got to think about those things. You got to do a lot more math at this point.
Absolutely. You've got to do the math. The math is going to be so key. You got to figure out what is the best option for you. And you know what? The annual pass, it may not be the best option for you now at this point. So the math is going to be so, so important for you to do, which I know a lot of people don't like to do math, but it's going to be very important in this instance. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this a lot on Sunday night too. So you can call in and give all your thoughts how I'm wrong. Cause I mean, I'm just processing this hours later and I 100% understand that I could be missing things and I'm not always right when it comes to these things. I do what's best by me, but a lot of times by having more discussion, especially on a call-in show or on the chat or on our forums, all that stuff helps me kind of make better decisions. So I'm not sitting here, you know, we have the microphones because we have the podcast, but that doesn't mean we're right. I'm just trying to get out my thoughts and my, you know, overall what I'm thinking about this.
also, I was going to say, especially right now, because, you know, we discussed this on Wednesday, but don't rely on the fact that you are, you know, Disney's going to offer a discount for a room or something like that. Like before, that was something that we took into consideration because Disney, you know, offered discounts on rooms a lot for annual pass holders and things like that. Well, right now, they're not necessarily doing that because, you know, the resorts are full, so they don't have to offer that. So I would add up the cost without any discounts first. And then if the discounts come, then that's kind of gravy. You know what I'm saying? That would be my thought process. I would not expect to get a discount. Go from there. And then if you get a discount, that's better. I think Tanya, though, has the best analogy here. She said the renewal process was going up anyway, as it does each year. So to increase and subtract feels like stubbing your toe. And I agree. Yes, it does. I totally agree.
It's just one of those things, you know, I think 5, 6, 7 years ago, like if you were an out-of-state visitor, it was pretty easy to justify the annual pass.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even think about it. Like I would just get an annual pass every year, and I lived in Missouri, and people thought that was weird, right? I mean, because I drive around with an AP magnet on my Jeep, and like you know, I don't have a season pass to Six Flags, which is 30 minutes from my house, but I do have an annual pass to Walt Disney World, which is 1,000 miles away. But it made sense. It doesn't make quite as much sense in all instances, but it does. I mean, we're super fans. Folks listen to the show. So you probably go 3-4 times a year. It still may make sense. It's just going to be more expensive like everything else in the world right now. So just how it is. But we'll continue the conversation for weeks and months and years to come.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we've been here for 13 years. We'll hopefully be here another 13 and we'll continue to talk about this. So please do let us know on social media. Be our guest, Mike, Ricky Nibs. We'll have the conversations there. But real quick, we have about 12 minutes left in this show.
Oh gosh!
Just, I know we can't really get into all the complications, but walk us through Genie Plus and Lightning Lane for those that haven't caught that, and maybe just give us a few nuggets on that.
Okay, so first of all, let me kind of direct you. There is a Mouse for Less blog that I wrote. It is under the blog section, not the news section, but the news kind of section goes over the basics of Disney Genie. The article I wrote is a somewhat uncomplicated breakdown of Disney Genie. So I tried to make it as easy as possible for people to understand because I feel like when Disney announced Disney Genie, they did it in like the most complicated way possible. You know what I'm saying? Like they really made it as difficult to understand. I don't know if they tried to make it as difficult to understand or if that was just the way that it came out, but you know, because when you're working on a project and you think, oh, this has got to be really simple for everybody. And then it actually comes out and you're like, what did they say?
Before we jump into this, and I promise I'm not going to derail this because I know there's a lot to talk about. And we'll get into this next Friday because Pam will be back next week and we'll have all three of us here. She's, you know, the pro at all this. But here's the thing. I mean, just think about this. If you're a first time visitor to Walt Disney World, I mean, we talked about this on Sunday night, like. When I first got into Disney, I didn't even know what a queue was because in Missouri, we call them lines. Like at Six Flags, you get in line. You don't get in a queue. What is a queue? I mean, is it a letter in the alphabet? What? Now you got virtual queues. Woo, that sounds fancy.
Right.
Then you got boarding groups. Just the lingo. If you're jumping into this, you got Genie Plus, Lightning Lanes, virtual queues, standby queues. I mean, God help you if you're new to all this. It's really hard.
But I will admit, I think that the old way was also just as difficult, if not more so.
I don't think so, but
we were so used to it. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
So I think that this will, my hope is that this will maybe uncomplicate. Look, you all know my thoughts.
It'll be less pre-planning because of getting the MaxPass Genie Plus stuff. Like it's more like it's more immediate than like, you know, back in the day where you started planning your trip. 6 months out, then you 2 months out was fast passes. I agree. It's going to be less stressful. It's more immediate. So
yes, good point. It is. You all know like my thoughts on Fast Pass Plus and how I didn't want it to come back, but I knew that in some way, shape or form, it would be coming back. I feel like this is a better option, all things considered. And I know that a lot of people are going to disagree with me. But really, honestly, I think in the long run, this is actually going to benefit everybody, including Disney, because that's, you know, who really this is supposed to be benefiting. I think it's going to benefit everybody in a weird way. So here's what it is. It's a complimentary Disney. There's like three different pieces, essentially. Mm-hmm. There's Disney Genie. Let's start with that. Disney Genie is going to be a complimentary and convenient new digital service that's designed to help create the best Disney day. It's something that those of us in the Disney community know very well, another website touring plans. I may or may not be very familiar with. Yeah, touring plans. They are essentially ripping off touring plans. If you want to, you know, take
it's going to be like an optimized touring plan for you to get you through the tracks. So the thing is, it's going to be an optimized touring plan for Disney's advantage, I would understand, because they want the crowds to go certain places, which, I mean, hopefully that'll be good for all of us. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative on Disney. I mean, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't stick to a touring plan ever. So we'll see how it goes.
Right. So So Disney Genie is going to create personalized itineraries from attractions to entertainment to general interest. So you can pick different attractions that you want to go on, and it will tell you the best times
like
to ride.
Idea. I like that. If you're a coaster fan, do this. If you're just a, you know, a little, you
which
know,
may or
person.
May not be what touring plans had been doing, but that's fine.
I mean, yeah, it was Dumbo and Die and all that stuff. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, back in the day. Yeah.
Yes. So, but also for those who are, you know, maybe noobs or whatever, or, you know, this is their first time, there's the option to choose your general interests. So say you have a family that has, you know, the daughter likes Star Wars, the son likes Pixar, and you want to experience those attractions that have like those things. Disney Genie will help your family go that route. So that's kind of another thing. So Disney Genie itself is a planning tool. Now, there inside the planning tool, there are two paid options that are available for guests. So they're both, and this is, I think this is where the confusion comes from. They're both going to allow guests to utilize what's known as a lightning lane. So I believe the lightning lane is going to be for both options. I know that people are calling the individual option the lightning lane, but I don't think that's what that is. Could be wrong on
that.
The
lightning lane, from what I understand, and I've done a webinar with Disney on this, the lightning lane is the one, it's like the highest level of like a Rise of the Resistance or something like that. And it's the one that's going to cost the most per like the one ride. So it might be like $17 you get on. I don't know. They don't know what the price is going to be, but it's variable. But here's the thing. This is me. Lightning, like Lightning McQueen. Instead of Ka-Chow, I call this one Ka-Ching. So go ahead.
Yes, exactly. Okay, yes. Okay. The guests that are going to utilize like the lightning. See, that's where I think the confusion is coming from. So Disney made it sound like the lightning lane was the former fast pass lane for both of these. I guess that's probably wrong. And I need to probably update my article. But if the lightning lane is that individual attraction access, then that will be the former fast pass lane. And then the Genie Plus will utilize the other fast pass lane, because the attractions that are available for both of those options are not the same attractions. So let me back up a little bit. So Genie Plus is the first paid option. It will cost $15 per ticket per day at Walt Disney World. Guests can choose the next available time to ride a variety of attractions or experiences using that former Fast Pass lane. Now, there are going to be some attractions that are not a part of Disney Genie Plus, and then for those attractions, you'll have the ability to purchase the individual attraction access. That'll be the Lightning Lane options. So, now with Disney Genie Plus, guests can schedule a time, and it basically works a lot like Max Pass at Disneyland. So I know that a lot of us don't have a lot of...
Every person that I've talked to that has used Max Pass and paid for it out at Disneyland, they come back raving about it. I mean, I'm just saying, just to be fair, I have not talked to one person that did not like Max Pass when they used it.
Exactly. And I'm going out to Disneyland in November, and I had planned on using Max Pass. I guess I will not be using Max Pass, and maybe hopefully I'll be using Disney Genie Plus. So so it's going to work similarly to Fast Pass, but it's how Fast Pass used to work. Where you would have to go on the app and pick a time, and it would be like pretty much right away, or, you know, maybe an hour or two like later. It's all going to be on the app. You go on the app, you select the next available ride time for the attraction that you're looking to ride. That ride time availability, like I said, could be now or hours from now. And then you're also going to get perks like augmented reality filters, blah, blah, blah. Nobody really cares.
Snapchat.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Snapchat. Yeah. Filters. I don't need that. That is not really helpful to me. Like I said, it's $15 per person at Walt Disney World. So then the next thing we have is the individual attraction access. Now for this, like you said, that's the Lightning Lane, which these rides are not going to be offered as part of Disney Genie Plus. So there's only going to be like one or two Lightning Lane attractions in each park so that guests can pay for. Guests cannot, like, if there's more than two, guests only have the option to choose two of those. So if, say, a park has like three options for Lightning Lane, you can only choose two of them.
Which that kind of cracks me up. I don't know why that is. It seems like Disney would want to take your money because it's a high-level thing.
I guess they want it to be an even playing field in the sense of, like, they don't want people just paying for that access. And
but, man, you're paying a lot of money to get in the park, and then you're paying a ton more money. Maybe.
Yeah. I think it's to kind of keep the lines from being clogged up totally. So,
you think – I just don't think there will be that many people doing Lightning Lane. I think it will be really sparse. I don't think it will affect wait times at all.
We'll find out, I guess. And that's my hope. That is my hope, actually. So with the Lightning Lane, you can either choose to wait in the standby queue. Same thing with the Disney Genie Plus. You can choose to wait in the standby queue or purchase Disney Genie Plus or the Lightning Lane. And then you can choose up to two attractions each day. Pricing has not been set and will be flexible for the Lightning Lanes. So I know everybody keeps mentioning $15 per ride. That's not the case for the Lightning Lane. Disney has said that it is going to be a flexible rate. Well, so
look at Disneyland Paris. It's been variable. It's kind of the same system. Exactly. Not exactly, but it's kind of similar, I would guess.
Exactly. And you can use this in conjunction with Disney Genie and Disney Genie Plus. So if you want to just buy Disney Genie Plus and not buy Lightning Lane, you can do that. I believe if you want to just buy Lightning Lane access, you can do that and not have to buy Disney Genie Plus. So that's kind of a nice perk too. Let's see what else. Just trying to go over like everything. I guess that's pretty much the basics of everything. Like I said, if you want to kind of understand a little bit more, go ahead and read my article on the master list. I will edit it real quick. You know, I think that that'll help out, explain things a little bit more. But honestly, I said this before, I really think this is going to be a positive for everyone. I know people don't think that, but my problem with FastPass Plus was that so many people utilized it that it just stacked up the FastPass Plus line, caused backups for FastPass Plus, so you would end up waiting longer for FastPass Plus, and it caused backups for the standby line. With this, I think, like you said, not as many people may buy either the Lightning Lane or the Genie Plus. So the fast pass, or I'm sorry, those lanes will go a lot faster. So your access to those attractions will actually be quicker than it would have been with Fast Pass Plus. And it will allow the standby lines to move, which has been my pet peeve with the Fast Pass Plus, the way that worked before. Because with Fast Pass Plus, I mean, if there were a lot of people in that line, Disney would have a ratio of 10 FastPass Plus people to one person in the standby line. I know that for a fact. So it would clog up that standby line, make things way longer than it should be. I mean, you know, you look at the wait times for something like, you know, Flight of Passage, and those were astronomical for the standby line. I think those are going to go way down with this.
But here's the thing, though, the people that are paying extra, you should not have to wait long at all. So they should be pushing those people through pretty quick.
They're going to get those people through pretty quick, but I don't think as many people are going to buy it. Yeah, and so it's going to get both lines through quicker. And I know people don't see it yet, but I think that's what's going to happen. I think the what used to be the fast pass line is going to move much faster. And I think the standby line is going to move much faster. I think you got to have faith with this one. And I'm kind of positive about this. And I didn't think that I would say that. But I'm not like as down on this as I think that most people are, because I really think it's going to help everybody in the long run, including, of course, Disney, because they're going to get extra revenue from it.
Right. And I'm taking a wait and see on this one, because I think this could be a positive, too. Again, though, it's that whole thing we talked about on Wednesday. It's like FastPass was free. It was included in your admission to the park, and now you're paying extra for it. Now, it's a better version of it. It should be. I mean, we're guessing that it will be. But is it $15 a day a person better? Well, again, I'm holding judgment on that. Disney has told us in that webinar, though, that you will be able to add the Genie Plus to your vacation package like you would a dining plan. So you could do like length of stay. Because that's a question I've been getting. So from what Disney has told us, not yet, we can't do it yet. Well, at least as we're recording, it could happen before then.
Right.
Is that you will be able to add this just like you would a dining plan or a memory maker, that it's just an option. Then you just have it for every person in your room, every day of your trip, use it to your heart's content. So that is an option where you can just really be in good shape.
Or the other bonus is you don't have to buy it every single day. You can choose to pick and choose which day. So say you have a 7-day trip and you only want to use Disney Genie Plus or the Lightning Lanes on, you know, 3 of those days. You can do that, and I don't believe you have to purchase it for every single member of your family. So, you know, say you've got, you know, someone whose height requirement, you know, doesn't quite fit, you know, all those Genie Plus options, you don't have to buy Genie Plus for that individual, you know, or I guess it would be more for the Lightning Lane. You know, that would, because those attractions generally have higher height requirements. So, you know, you wouldn't have to buy that option for every single member of your family. You could only, you could buy it for just the ones who fit that height requirement. So that's a nice perk as well, I guess, if you want to look at it. You know, that it's not like a dining plan where you have to buy it for every single person in your party for the entire length of stay. You can if you'd like, but you don't have to, which I think is nice too.
I will say two kind of final thoughts, because we'll, you know, we're going to continue to talk about this. Annual passes, Pam will be back next week. We'll have more conversations on this, not all this, because my joy in the podcast
is talking. Who knows what Disney's going to announce next week?
But to be honest, my joy in the podcast is talking about, you know, rides and shows and races and all that. So we're never going to get away from that. But I mean, this is just where we're at right now this week.
And in Disney, we have to help talk. Explain
exactly.
These
we want you to have a good trip.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: I hope Lightning Lane passes are ultra expensive. I mean, this is me being selfish. I hope they're $75 a person to go on Rise of Resistance, because if you say you make that Lightning Lane pass $10.
Dude, well, yeah.
So many people would buy it, then it'd be crazy. Like that's the thing, Disney has to kind of walk that tightrope, right? They have to make it to where it hurts so you don't get everybody being enticed. Marlessa brought up a great point on the Sunday Night Call-In show in the chat. She talked, because we're talking about, I'm never using the Lightning Lane. I'll just use Genie Plus and standby stuff and all that, which I probably will. But here's the thing. She said, well, say take Splash Mountain, you know, and it's say it's $17. I'm like, there's no way I'm paying $17 to ride Splash Mountain. I've ridden that thing 50 times. But she brought up a good point. Say the lines were super long during an entire week-long trip. She's heading home. She knows the attraction's going to be changed by the next time she gets back. You know, it's going to be Tiana's, or kind of the last, you know, chance to go on Splash Mountain as it is right now. I mean, is it worth $17 to have that one last hit of your favorite attraction and you can get on it in 5 minutes?
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, it's a good point. So it is. I mean, again, it brings up a lot more questions and a lot more scenarios you got to run in your head.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, and like I said, as of right now, there are only select attractions that are going to be in that Lightning Lane option. So, you know, it'll only be like those top tier attractions, as far as I know, you know, so it would be like a Rise of the Resistance, or I know they've mentioned Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is going to be one of those. You know, so it's only going to be like the top tier attractions. So, and like I said, it's going to be variable. So I think it will hurt. If you want to ride Rise, I think it's going to hurt. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to make it so that it you got to pay to play in that regard, because they don't want everybody to purchase it.
Otherwise,
it
loses
the line.
Yeah, it loses exclusivity if you have too many people doing it. I mean, it just has to be, because I'm not going to do it that often. I mean, I probably will never do it, to be honest, but. Yeah,
if it's, I mean, you know, look at the number
really
of people
who
have complained about the fact that I can't get that Rise of Resistance boarding pass. This is going to guarantee me that Rise of Resistance boarding pass. So it might be worth the money for somebody, you know, like, yeah,
that's
I
true.
Can see
I mean, because like, say your kid came down, the biggest Star Wars fan in the world, you can't get them on it. Well, you know what? A dad's going to pay $50 to not have their kid disappointed. I mean, just not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it gives you an option.
Yeah, it gives you the option. So
that's what we'll continue this conversation. I know we're way long, but we'll talk about this more. So again, give us some feedback on the social media at @BRGuestMike, @RickyNibs. We'll continue the conversation. And of course we will, you know, keep you up to date with everything that's going on. And it is kind of an exciting time to be a Disney fan, because there's a lot that's going to unfold over the next, say, 60, 90 days, you know, to see how this all gets implemented, where the pricing falls, who uses it, who doesn't, feedback. A lot of stuff going to happen. So we'll have great conversations here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And of course, Sunday nights, the show is all yours. So again, don't forget, Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. You want to talk about this? Give us a call. We'll talk about it. This Sunday night, we're on Facebook and YouTube. So we'll see you there. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all your Disney trip planning needs. Again, like I said on Wednesday, now's a great time to have an expert in your corner, not only getting you the best price on that Disney package, but also if you have questions, we're there all the time. Just drop that question to your agent. We'll answer it to you. We'll get you some resources. You get these awesome emails weekly giving you tips and advice to make sure that you're in the right place to have a great trip when the time comes. And again, it really does support the show. It's the best way to support the show. So with that next trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, just drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that quote form, mention the show, and I promise you, we'll take great care of you. Again, over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to our patrons. You guys allow us to put the show out 3 to 4 times every week. It goes out all over the world, and it's because of your support. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. So if you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Follow Ricky again at Ricky Nibs. I'm at brguestmike on Twitter and Instagram. And subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. And we'll see you Sunday night. Should be a lively call-in show, which I always love. I love those things. I love getting to talk to our listeners. It really is the highlight of what we do. We get to just have these conversations back and forth. Because again, we have an awesome community. We're not always happy about things Disney does. We're, you know, we can be, you know, questioning things. But the thing is, our community for the last 13 and a half years, we can handle things like adults. We can have conversations. We don't, you know, we talk things through. We help each other out and we see, okay, well, this is the system. How can we all get the most out of it? You know, get the most value? How can we gain the most advantage to make our trips awesome? And it's because of the community getting together and coming up with ideas. That's I love that about our show. We have a great community. We always have.
We do.
Okay.
We do.
All right. So I can't wait for Sunday night. Okay. So it's time to get out of here, but we'll be back again on Sunday night. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Friday. Have some fun. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And M-I-Z.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.